Now, we're into just the fourth day of the year, so maybe it's time to start working on a new you. You've been wondering where to start with kicking things off this year in a personal or professional capacity. You're probably not alone. It's a popular time of year to think about change. Kirsten McKenna has extensive experience in mindfulness and personal development and looks to bring a unique outlook on sustainability, achieving peak performance, and engaging the state of flow. And she's joining us this morning on 2SER to find out how we can start the new year on the right foot. Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning, Mick. How are you?
Really good. Thanks for joining us here at 2SER. Happy New Year, firstly.
Yes.
It can be an invigorating to start a new year, a whole clean slate full of opportunity and promise. Do you find yourself being quite busy helping people out at this time of year?
Definitely. I think the majority of people are interested in starting new habits that are positive or breaking old habits that are negative, and taking a look at things from a fresh perspective and performing better than they perhaps performed last year. So, yeah, it's definitely the busiest time of year for me.
It is, yeah. I would have thought so. I know that for me personally, when I get to January, I'm like, I've got all these great ideas and thinking, okay, I'm going to do this every week and I'm do this every day. And sometimes I struggle to maintain, I guess, that enthusiasm throughout the year. What are some ways that you can sort of set goals and then go, okay, how do you stick to them?
Yeah, well, it's interesting if you look at the statistics, because after 6 months, almost 60% of us have abandoned our resolutions. And by the end of the year, 8% of us will achieve them. So there's a large percentage of people that either abandon or don't achieve the resolutions that they set in January. So I think there's a few things that you can do to ensure that you'll be able to follow through on the resolutions. And the first thing would be to get really specific about what you're doing.
Okay.
And what you'd like to achieve. So I'll give you an example. If you'd like to lose weight, be specific about how much weight you want to lose and put a time frame around it. So if you want to lose 10 kilograms by end of Q1, you've gotten really specific about that. Next is you want to determine what steps need to be taken to achieve your resolution. So instead of just writing you'd like to lose 10 kilos by the end of Q1, get really specific about the actions you need to take to achieve it. So creating grocery lists that are healthy and meal plans ahead of time. Identify how much exercise you'd like to do each week and when. Join exercise groups so that you're committed to other people. And then determine what kind of support you'll need at home from your partner, your spouse, or your friends, or your network at work, so that you have that extra support with you.
Yeah, that sounds really important to have those people around you that can help you get through it as well.
Yeah, definitely. It makes a big difference. Another approach that I think is helpful is attaching feelings or positive emotions to your resolutions. Mm-hmm. So when you think about losing weight, if you achieve that resolution, what feelings will that provide to you? Will you be grateful? Will you have pride? Will you be inspired? And as soon as you attach feelings or positive emotions, it provides an emotional conduit. And it's more heart-centered of goal than it is head-centered. Mm-hmm. And so that provides an intrinsic motivation for you to keep going. And Danielle Laporte uses a great model. She calls it developing goals with soul. And that's when you attach the feelings to what it is that you want to achieve. And they could be feelings in the pursuit of the goal, or they could be the feelings that you will achieve once you have achieved that goal.
You're right, actually, because you always get that feeling when you really persist and say, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make the effort to, you know, make your lunch every day, or you like you say, eat healthily. It's beforehand you sort of think, oh, I don't really want to do it, or I'm being lazy. But then when you actually do it, all of a sudden you sort of feel like warm within yourself. You're like, oh, yeah, that was all right. That was easy. It wasn't that big a deal. And you feel really accomplished. So I think that's that thing I always aim for, that feeling happy with the decision I've made.
Exactly. And it takes time. I think you have to be forgiving of yourself when you have little slip-ups, because we all will face challenges that challenge our resolve. And I think instead of getting lost in that challenge and thinking, oh, I ate that chocolate bar, oh, I missed my exercise sessions this week because I had a busy week, be okay with that and just jump back on the bandwagon and start again, because so many of us beat ourselves up over these small failures. Yeah. And I think it's important to employ some self-compassion around that and just ensure that it's a slip up, you face this challenge. And on that note, knowing that you're going to experience challenges along the way, a really great measure is to employ strategies ahead of time for when you face those challenges. So say, for example, you've given up alcohol for Q1. I don't know who would do that, but say that was your goal. So you know you're going to be in environments where there's going to be alcohol. What are some strategies you can employ to either avoid or to be in those environments so that you can cope? You know, think about what you're going to drink, cranberry soda. Think about who you're going to be around and put yourself in those situations ahead of time so that you've equipped yourself with strategies to deal with it.
Yeah, I think like preparing yourself mentally for situations is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suggest, I guess, as well, writing things down, like making lists and then looking at them and going, reminding yourself of things that you have to do or ways of doing things? Is that important as well?
Definitely. I think there's a lot of research out there that demonstrates people who write down their goals are significantly more successful than those who don't. Mm. But also what it does is it provides you an opportunity to regularly check in with yourself. So many of us at the beginning of the year write these big lofty goals, and then we don't look at them again until the end of the year. And that is why we often get derailed by the small failures that come up, is because we haven't checked our progress. We haven't looked at the incremental steps that we've developed to get there. So by referring to those incremental steps, such as your grocery list, your exercise sessions, what support you'll need, as you tick them off, you're getting a little dopamine release in the brain. So you're feeling that sense of achievement, which not only contributes to your overall well-being and resolve in achieving your resolutions, but it provides you with more willpower and discipline to keep going. Because that's essentially what it comes down to, is your willpower and discipline.
And you're looking for those little hits. My wife, Julia, she's very much on the lists thing. And sometimes she makes a list for me, and then she's like, why haven't you ticked these things off? And I'm like, I know I've done them. She goes, yeah, but ticking them off feels so good. So, you know, I had to get the pen and you know, cross through it. And she's like, doesn't that feel good? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
and some lists work for some people and they don't work for others.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with regards to resolutions, the bottom line is it's about behavior change and adopting or letting go of habits.
Mm.
And our traditional approach to that, to habits, has been to address the behavior. But what the science now tells us is that we should be addressing the behavior cues and the subsequent rewards we receive. And I'll give you a quick example. Yeah. So if you'd like to run a half marathon this year, you need to think of what cues will encourage you to do that. So put your running shoes beside your bed each morning so you'll go for a run or at the door. And as a reward, give yourself a little piece of chocolate, or say you can have a beer at the end of the day because you went for a run that morning. And it might seem counterintuitive. However, by addressing the cue and addressing the reward, you actually have a significantly better chance of changing your behavior and implementing new habits and getting rid of old habits.
And that was a thing I was really interested in, was habits and about how you can form habits. And just apparently it only takes like 21 days to really form a habit. So if you keep at something, you know that it's going to get easier and easier the longer you do it.
Yeah, there is some discrepancy these days around how long it takes. Some say 21 days, some say 28 days, and it also depends on the individual.
Sure.
And the way that we're hardwired. So what we now know about neuroplasticity is our behaviors and our habits form neural pathways in our brain. And so what that looks like is, if we have a habit of, say, smoking, we have a number of neural pathways in our brain that are similar to a superhighway for smoking. And if we don't want to smoke, the behavior of not smoking is like a one-lane country road. It's not developed, and it may even be non-existent in our brain. Mm. And so we need to create that road. We need to develop those neural pathways for not smoking and decrease the number of pathways for smoking. And so it's a lot harder than we think. But the good news is just by having the intention to change, it increases your chances of change 10 times.
Good to know. Good to know. That's a big time. 10 times. You're going to want to do it. That's right.
Exactly.
Now, before we let you go, there is a fantastic event that you're involved in, and it's a combination of mindfulness and wine. It's called Winefulness, and it's held down here in Chippendale at Handpicked Cellar Door. Can you tell us quickly about that?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So I've worked with clients and leaders in particular on becoming more mindful, in addition to the developing leadership competencies. And with a friend, we came up with the idea of Winefulness because you don't have to practice meditation necessarily in order to practice mindfulness. You just need to apply becoming more mindful in everyday activities. And I had a client that was neglecting to remember to be mindful when she was brushing her teeth or when she was having a shower or when she was eating. And so I'd asked her if she drank wine. She said, yes, excellent idea. and we came up with the name Winefulness one night over a few glasses of wine. And so what the event is it's an introduction to mindfulness and how to practice mindfulness in a number of different ways, from meditation to simple breath awareness exercises and diaphragmatic breathing, combined with mindful wine tasting, where you apply visualization, all of the senses through looking at the wine, really savoring the wine as you do taste it, and having the opportunity to notice the nuances of the wine and be truly present in the experience. So it's a combination of introducing you to some mindfulness techniques that you can use for stress reduction and managing complexity and change in the workplace and in life, as well as being introduced to some pretty fantastic wines at Handpicked Cellar Door.
What a great idea. I really like that idea of combining something that we, you know, don't really think about we could combine with improving ourselves, but yeah, you can have some wine, feel good and improve yourself as well. Really good idea. I'll have to come down. I know my wife went down last time and I didn't go, so I'll make sure I get there this time.
Yeah, we'll be expecting you.
Really appreciate your time this morning. And I think there's a few good ideas that people can pick up out of that. People can also jump onto your website, cortexconsulting.com.au, if they want to find out more about what you do and if they want to maybe meet up with you and chat about how they can work at themselves as well.
Great. Thanks so much, Mac. I appreciate it.
Not a worry. Thanks so much.